This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Get ready for fast greens and thick rough this week on Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
I'm clearing too early. I'm clearing too late. My God, my swing feels like an unfolding lawn chair.
This is a U.S. Open Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
U.S. Open Week on Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080.
I look like a fool. What the hell do you think you look like? Shooting them chili peppers up Lee Jansen's ass.
The Fan.
Hey, what it do? What's up? Good Monday. It's me, Rob. Big Souk is out. And there's some controversy over why he is out, which we'll get to in a moment. But how about that new sexy open from Ryan Buckley right there? I know that means more work for you. Now
That's right.
That it's U.S. Open week, you have to put together new opens. But I enjoyed that.
Good.
Particularly the Lee Jansen.
Shooting chili peppers up Lee Jansen's ass.
Yeah. Lee Jansen, notorious U.S. Open, what am I trying to say?
Like he was always in the mix?
Yeah. He always played well at the U.S. Open. I just wanted to put
like
that.
A frequenter atop the leaderboard or something like that.
I think some guys just figure out what the USGA is doing, and they play well there. And one of those guys is Bryson DeChambeau.
Well, we have a lot of time this week to talk about which of those guys we should bet on as well.
Brycey babes. I put out my my bets are already my bets are already done.
Did you see the Brycey babes
Buckley
video going viral from the rough?
Was that the where he was showing how thick the rough is?
Yeah, and he actually made a decent shot out of there, but it was really something.
Yeah. Well, we got a whole U.S. I'm looking at my notes here. I see it right there, U.S. Open preview, and it might be today. I don't know. We'll see what we can get to. But look, it's not U.S. Open week. I mean, it is, but that's not the main focus of the week.
I see where you're going here.
It is race week for Sprint Tri Clyde over there.
That's right.
How we feeling?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
By the way, will you pop me up, please?
Oh,
I have drops.
I'm sorry. Okay, there we go. Yeah, my drops.
Thank you.
Boom.
There I am.
Yeah, there you are.
Yeah, how we feeling? You got the big sprint try on Saturday.
Yeah, so today I did a trial run in my gear that I was going to be wearing at the race.
Oh, that's smart.
It's a cold body of water, so it's recommended that you wear a wetsuit. So I am borrowing a wetsuit that is full length but sleeveless, and so
cute.
That you can swim. But it's very
because
tight.
If it had sleeves, you couldn't swim.
It's just with that, with the type of material they use for wetsuits to try to insulate, it makes it quite a bit harder to swim freestyle if you have the over the shoulder parts.
Where did you go? Did you dunk in the Willamette? Or
no? I just took it in the pool just to see how it felt.
Yeah, but that's not cold water.
I know it's not, but I just need to get used to swimming with this sausage casing around my body.
How'd that feel?
Like a sausage casing around my body.
That's probably a weird feeling.
I mean, I've worn like short wetsuits before, like boogie boarding in Northern California and stuff like that. But I've never like tried to swim a distance in one, and I did the whole 800 meters today, and it felt fine. It just felt different. I could glide much more easily, which was...
So you were faster.
Yeah, I was more aerodynamic, that's for sure. And then, but it was also like the buoyancy of the suit kind of does something to like your balance in the water a little bit. And so there was a little recalibration there, but it was fine.
So you're like a seal.
Kind of. Yeah. Like gliding. Like a harbor seal. Yeah.
Like a harbor seal gliding through the Columbia.
Yeah. For those folks that know the Oregon Zoo and like the, when you go down into the little cave area, you were just over there, weren't you?
I was Friday night.
Did you see the seals?
They were out. Yeah. The zoo, it was Zoo Brew. And we went there. They had a rockin' 80s cover band.
Nice.
And we had some beers and stuff. And yeah, the sea. What's the difference between a seal and a sea lion?
I'm sure there are fundamental ones, but I think sea lions are generally bigger and more aggressive and have. They can walk more easily.
I
think they're on land more, sea lions.
I saw the woman doing a bit with three. I think they might have been sea lions because they were big.
Okay.
Where they do the bits and the tricks. And
because usually when you go underneath, there's like the kind of torpedo-y little like gray, like speckled white guys that are that like zooming all around.
Those are the seals.
Those are the seals. Yeah. And that's what I felt like today.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, are you going to win this?
No.
Because of your wetsuit?
No. No, I'm not.
Well, you could win the Clydesdale division.
I don't think so. As texters have pointed out, So the Clydesdale division is anyone who's over 220 pounds, and they say that dudes who are just built like Adonises, who are like 221, just show up and smoke everybody.
So they're like sandbaggers in golf.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, something like that.
They really shouldn't be competing against real Clydesdales like yourself.
But maybe it's...
They're so insecure, they have
it's probably more like a boxer who like tries to like cut weight to fight in the division that best benefits him, you know?
Yeah, I don't love that.
But that's not the point.
Let's take them down.
I'm not taking them down.
Let's get you on a cycle.
No.
Before Saturday. So the big race is Saturday.
Yeah.
Sprint try. Yeah. That's a fast triathlon, so it's...
It's a short triathlon. They call it sprint because you can do it at more of a sprint, but it'll still be a more measured pace.
So how far are we swimming?
800 meters, half a mile.
And then we bike...
12.1 miles.
And then we run...
A 5K, 3.18
miles. Okay. Are you going to be like Ferris Bueller on Saturday? And you get up and you're like, okay, I'll go. Okay, I'll go. I'll go.
Oh, Cameron, when he's like, he's gonna call. He's going to make me go over there. I'll go.
Is that going to be you?
No, I'm locked in. I mean, we're going up there.
Oh, hell yeah.
Well, I mean, it's in Bend. And the race starts at 7 a.m. So I'm not going to go up the morning of. Like, we're not driving 3 hours out there to show up at the start of the race.
So what's your goal? What's your PR? Well, you haven't really done the whole thing, have you?
No, I think we touched on this briefly, but essentially what they give is a 2-hour window for you to finish. I don't think they'll like not.
Yeah, but you'll be better than that.
Probably.
You will.
We'll see.
So, 12 miles biking. What do you think? How fast? What's your goal?
I did a bike today. I did like a 13-mile ride earlier today.
Go.
And let me see. I can tell you from my little app how fast I did it here on the fan.
Sports talk. By the way, big suit controversy.
Yeah, what is the controversy? Okay, so.
Momentarily.
I did 13.2 miles in an hour.
Okay, so 1 hour for the bike.
And then I usually, in the pool...
Less than that, because it's only 12.
It'll be a little less than that, so maybe say 55 minutes or something like that.
A half mile in the pool?
It's 800 meters, and it usually takes me about 20 minutes.
Okay. So that leaves you 40 minutes for a 5K.
But you have to also take into account, like, you got to take the wetsuit off, you got to get your shoes on, you got to get on the bike, you got to get off the bike, you got to have some water.
Then all the beer...
I'm not going to be doing that as I'm trying to finish my 5K. No, thank you.
All right, so it might be close.
I think it is going to be close.
You'll get in under the wire. We have faith.
There'll be like a little bit of probably adrenaline and maybe some competitive juices kicking in. So I think it'll be okay.
You know, more power to you. I think this is great that you're doing this. I'm a little better at eating and drinking and sleeping and watching golf. But
I'm great at those things. That's why I look the way I do.
You do you, you know. I just think, I don't think people ever regret doing like a sprint try.
Yeah.
Or I once ran a half marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't regret that.
Yeah.
But it's also way out of character for me, and I question why I did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I think we all have these things where we don't regret them. Like, there's really not a lot of downside short of you drowning or, you know, like...
or collapsing on the run or something
like
that.
You know, it being a traumatic experience, it probably won't be. It'll be good. It's healthy for you. You've trained. You know, it's a good experience. You don't regret it, but it's also something I'm guessing you probably won't do again. Or maybe you will, but you probably won't.
We'll see.
And I just think... it's like I used to be kind of fit. This is going to be weird for you to picture. But when I was in my...
were a runner, right?
Early to mid-20s. I was always a runner because my dad was a runner. But my I had a gym phase where I was lifting, and I had a trainer.
You were gym bro.
I was like cut. High T.
Yeah, you were.
And I just... I don't know what I was thinking.
But it was probably, I mean, it,
what was I thinking? That
but it was
so
good for you at the time.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I don't regret it. It's just, that's not who I am or what I
care. Do you feel like
it
was a waste of time?
No, but it just wasn't sustainable for me.
We won the nutty!
You know,
is that you lifting?
That was me. At the Gold's Gym in Kansas City. Lenexa, to be exact.
Nice.
Yeah, with my, at that time I had bleach blonde tips.
I've seen a picture of you recently with, I've recently seen the picture. It was a long time ago of you with the bleach blonde tips.
That was a phase. Anyway, so you won't regret it. This is great. But, you know, our attempts to avoid a bottomless pit of despair, they know no bounds, you know?
Yeah,
and it's things like this. You know what? I'm just going to try. It'll be great.
So my overall thinking, too, is that even if I don't finish, even if there is some sort of disaster, if the worst thing that happened is that I got in better shape for a few months and then can kind of sustain some of that,
yeah.
like that's really the goal.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm rooting for you.
Thanks.
This is going to be great. Now, I do have a little bit of controversy.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Now, we knew that it was just going to be you and I today.
Correct.
There was a thought that Dave Bartu would be in here tomorrow.
Right.
With me and you.
Okay.
That's not going to happen because I got a text from Big Sook last night.
Hmm.
Now, Big Sook was supposed to be on a golf trip. He was, I don't know where he was going. Like, I think Vegas and then Utah maybe. Or
oh, wow.
Yeah. Tahoe maybe. Something.
I heard nothing of this, so I don't know.
Yeah, it was a last minute thing, but he didn't go.
A lot of people saying Sinker Hart has diarrhea.
Hmm.
A lot of people are saying...
A lot of people say
Big Sook has diarrhea.
Do we think that's why?
He got sick. Well, I know he got sick. He
that kind of sick?
I don't know if it's that kind of sick, but he got sick. He didn't go. So now he says...
Well, he sounded a little nasally and stuffy on Friday.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't sound like... I mean, he wasn't in like bad shape, but he sounded like he might be under a little bit.
Yeah, he asked me for Kleenex on Friday, and I said, what do you think, they buy Kleenex around here?
That's what the Clorox wipes are for.
As a guy with allergies, I've been asking him for Kleenex for years. That's cut from the budget. You got to bring your own. What are you? It's your first rodeo? Anyway, he did have the sniffles, and then I thought maybe just allergies or whatever. But he said he was supposed to go on a trip. He didn't go. Uh-huh. He got really sick, but he was feeling better yesterday. He was out today and maybe back tomorrow. So we may get Big Sook back tomorrow a couple of days early and without a fun golf trip. Under his belt.
Well, that's sounds like a bummer for him.
So, yeah, I mean, that's some developing news.
Wow!
And we'll find out if he had the rhea, but not good. Have you ever had that where you had a big trip and you couldn't go?
I've never had a big trip where being sick stopped me from being there. I did, my wife and I went to Japan for 2 weeks, and she got so sick, like, the night before we were supposed to leave. We just went anyways. And she was like awful for the first 48 hours.
I think a lot of people would do that, and I think I would do that too.
And we were like, we've been planning it for months.
Yes.
And
there's too much to rearrange.
She's like I think she even wore a mask on the plane. It was pre-pandemic, but I mean, she was feeling crappy and like it was the right thing to do to like not potentially share that with somebody else. And it was easy to find one, but she was awful for like the first 48 hours of our trip. And then everything ended up being fine. But that's the closest we've been to.
Man.
Sickness getting in the way.
Yeah, that would suck. I don't know that I've ever had a trip canceled because I got sick, but I've certainly gotten sick on trips.
And to be clear, it wasn't the rhea. It was more feverish. Okay. You know.
I think the rhea is a little more manageable in that sense, isn't it?
I kind of think so, too. You just, pop a couple Peptos and...
Stay close to a bathroom, you'll be fine.
It's you can generally ride that out.
Well, I've had to fly with COVID. And let me tell you, twice. And let me tell you, that was not fun. And I hope to God I didn't give that to... I remember one time, the second time. Because, you know, you got... See, this is the thing. You got the flight, and you got the COVID. And then you're like, well, I shouldn't get on that flight. But then you're like, well, how am I going to get home? And when am I going to get home? I can't... Like, the hotel's expensive.
What am I supposed to do?
Put on a mask.
Yeah.
Try to... Just
keep a low profile.
Yeah. Yeah. And then slump down in your seat and sleep.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Yeah.
But I do remember there was one young family right next to me leaving Vegas, going to a trip, I think up here, like Northwest camping or something. It sounded like a delightful trip when they were talking about it. I just hope to God I didn't get them sick for their camping trip. But I get it. You have to do that sometimes.
We have family friends offer us 49ers tickets to Jerry Rice's last game with the 49ers. And I woke up in the middle of the night with like a 102-degree fever. And I was like, if I can get this down under 100 before game time, I'm going to go. And like 6 hours later, I was like sweating through my sheets, 104 degrees. And I had to miss Jerry's last game as a Niner.
Wow. How did he do in his last game as a Niner?
It was famous or kind of like memorable because Terrell Owens caught 20 passes in Jerry's last game. It was like the...
Who was the quarterback?
I think it was Jeff Garcia.
And he's not teeing up Jerry Rice?
I don't want to say controversial, but like I think they were like playing for a playoff spot, had to win the game, and it was very obvious that Jerry was long in the tooth and T.O. was the man, and that they just fed him.
You know, one of my favorite sports memories, not to like make you feel bad about missing Jerry Rice's final game,
sure,
was George Brett's final home game in Kansas City. We snuck out of at that time the frat.
Yeah.
And you may say, well, why did you
miss your chapter meeting? It was a big deal.
Bro, why did you have to sneak out of a frat? Well, because we were freshmen, and it was like the first semester, and you're treated like a dog.
You're a pledge. Essentially. Yes. That's their nice way of saying servant.
Correct. Like, you can't do anything.
Like, yeah.
And we were like, screw that.
We're going.
What are you going to do to us? We're going. So we snuck out, me and Daniel Short.
Nice.
And we went to the... Brett's last home game. And I remember I cried a little bit as he kissed home plate. I think he got a hit. I'll have to look up the game. Anyway, that's what you missed.
I attended Ricky Henderson's last game as a pro. He was a Padre. It was at Oracle Park where the Giants
He was
play.
A Padre?
I believe his last game was with the Padres, or his last stint.
He bounced around
a lot.
Towards the end?
Yeah. I mean, kind of throughout. I mean,
he played with the A's.
He played with the A's
forever.
But he also won a World Series with the Blue Jays. He played with the Padres. He played with the Yankees. He played with a lot of.
I thought he was mostly with the A's.
That's where he made his hay.
Was he with the Red Sox?
I don't know that he went to the. What, you know what? Internet will have.
Internet. I love internet. All right. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back. But boy, that kind of that sparks in my head a new fun game. Maybe one of these days. What team did these stars retire with?
Ooh, that is a fun game.
You know?
And I think in a lot of cases, a very difficult game.
Right. Yeah, because a lot of them are completely random. Like, I wouldn't have guessed Padres for Ricky Henderson. Any hoozies. We'll look that up. We'll get to headlines coming up next. The Beavers advance to another College World Series. Next on The Fan. Boy, you and I were both wrong about Ricky Henderson.
We sure were.
I don't know why I remember Ricky Henderson with the Red Sox. He did play for them his second to last team. Let me just read you Ricky Henderson's career. Okay, so he was with Oakland for the first 6 years.
Right.
Which is way fewer than I remember. He was 25 and already on to the Yankees.
Yep.
And I don't remember him spending that much time at the Yankees, but he spent... 4 seasons there, almost 5. Then he goes back to Oakland for 4-5. Then he goes to Toronto. Then he goes back to Oakland for 2. Then he goes to the Padres for 2. And you thought that was his last stop, you idiot.
Yeah, I thought. I know I went to 162 that year, or game 162, and people thought that was it for him. And I guess he chose for that to not be the case because made stops apparently in Boston and with the Dodgers.
Well, wait, then he went to Anaheim.
I don't remember that.
No. Then he went back to Oakland. Then he went to the Mets. Then he was with the Mariners. Do even Mariner fans remember the Ricky Henderson years? Or year? 2000.
Maybe?
Wow. That. Fun fact, the year before the Mariners had that magical 2001 season, Ricky Henderson was on their team.
Dude, he was with the A's three times? Did you say that?
He was with the A's. Actually, it's looking like he made five stops in Oakland, but yeah. I have to go back.
I'm looking at his baseball reference page.
Some of them are trades.
79 to 84, and then he's back with them in from 89 to 92.
Yes.
And then he gets traded, but he comes back at the start of the next season, 93.
Yes.
Yeah. And then
so that's his third. And then he goes to Toronto and back to Oakland. That's his fourth.
Yeah.
And then he goes back to Oakland.
In 98.
Five stops in Oakland.
Golly.
Yeah, I misremember all of this. Actually, I don't remember any of it. And then, so that he wasn't done. He was in Seattle, and then he was back with the Padres. So that was 2001 he was with the Padres. Is that what you were thinking?
Yes, that was the game that I saw of the final day of the year that we thought was his final one.
Well, that was his second stint in San Diego, and then he goes to Boston, and then he finishes off with the Dodgers in 2003. God, how many teams did he play for?
Let's see. It looks like 9 different teams. Oakland, New York, San Diego. Both New Yorks. Seattle, Boston, Toronto, Anaheim, L.A. God.
He was in the league when Joey Harrington was playing. Did you know that? Fun fact. Anyway, I don't know why we're talking about Ricky Henderson. It's just...
why not?
Well, I think that... I'm going to put that together. Maybe this week. I don't know. Maybe next week. Maybe later in the summer. But star players and where they finish their careers. Of course, the most famous being Joe Montana. Kansas City.
Sure. Michael Jordan with the Wizards.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a comeback, but that is where he finished his career, I guess, technically. Maybe we could do one for the Blazers, too.
Where
I'm on it.
Iconic Blazers finished their careers?
Yeah, I'm on that. Don't put that past me. Time for headlines. Beavers advance to another College World Series, guys. Can you believe it? They've done it again. And more importantly, they cost Ryan Buckley money. Ha!
Ha.
In your face.
That's right.
You bet against them thinking they were overrated.
At my own peril.
That's right. This is their eighth trip to the College World Series, their seventh in the last 20 years. And it seems like this team can kind of rake.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
It does seem that way.
They feel maybe a little inconsistent with that. Like
they're streaky, maybe?
Yeah, very streaky.
Yeah.
But my God, they're streaking at the right time. Like those old teams that won titles, those teams were a lot about pitching and defense. They didn't do a ton of raking like this, mm-hmm. It didn't seem like. But
and
now.
I think maybe that, and this is, I have not watched a lot of this team, but it feels like there's not a lot of pitching depth, so they can allow quite a bit, and then they need that raking to ensue for them to be competitive.
Well, hey, however you get it done, they're getting it done.
They won all kinds of ways this last
weekend.
They
hit for the home run cycle in that game.
Yeah, they just kept launching them.
Solo shot, a two-run shot, a three-run shot, and a granny all in the same game. So the old school Pac-12 has more teams in the College World Series than the stupid and mighty SEC.
That's right.
Take that, Southeastern Conference. The odds-on favorite, though, actually the two odds-on favorites are SEC teams. But I see where the Beavers have the fourth best odds. Arkansas is +175, LSU +250, Coastal Carolina +625, and then your Beavers right there at +650. Then you've got UCLA +1,000, Arizona +1,200, Louisville the long shot +1,600, and then whoever wins the Duke-Murray State game tonight is the eighth team. And I don't know, is that game over?
No, they play at 4 o'clock today.
Yeah, they're saying Murray State, if they win that game, is +7,500 to win the College World
Series. I think they were a 4 seed in their region. So this is like a 16 making it all the way.
What a run.
Yeah.
What do you think the Beaver fans showing in Omaha will be like?
That I don't know. I didn't particularly pay attention to that in their last runs at Omaha. I mean, I remember how those played out, but it's kind of notorious that the LSUs of the world travel hard and drink hard. And I've seen some things that people are anticipating this first. The LSU and Arkansas play each other in their first game, and they think that's going to be the drunkest fan baseball game in the history of the sport. Because
well, it might be.
LSU fans and Hog fans are just complete lushes.
Well, you know, the Beavs can hold their own.
Yeah, they were doing they got a lot of attention for all that big old beer pyramid over the weekend.
The beer can pyramid fiasco.
Or the wall, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at those teams, like, you know, I think Oregon State comes in a good third in drinking fan bases. I mean, they don't hold a candle to LSU, and I assume Arkansas
people
is
people in Corvallis can drink.
Yeah. So if we power rank the fan bases based on drinking, it'll be between LSU and Arkansas, and then probably the Beavs.
How do we think Coastal Carolina lines up?
Not big enough.
Oh, you just know? Collectively? I mean, you know, to a man or to a person.
Where is it?
Myrtle Beach?
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know, but I'm not going to give him much credit. I'm going to go ahead and deny him. Louisville could be sneaky, drinking fan base. I could see them getting down. At any rate, I believe we start Friday. And I tell you what, Omaha, for you Beaver fans that may or may not be going or are not going, just know that you should, because Omaha, the College World Series in Omaha is a great, very underrated sporting event to attend. It's awesome. I would contend that it's way cooler back when it was the old Rosenblatt Stadium, but
I feel like that's what the kind of consensus is, but that is the consensus anytime you take an old hallowed ground and you upgrade it or move it. Or
always the case. So congrats to the Beavs. They've done it again. Let's see if they can finish this bitch up. Now, who will they play?
The Beavs play Louisville. So it's really interesting the way that the bracket works essentially like an NCAA tournament bracket of 64 teams. Your path is known from the beginning. Like, okay. where you're going to go all the way, you know who you would play in the Super Region, you know who from, if you win your Super Region, you know who you'd play in Game 1 of the World Series, and then wins and losses.
So LSU having to play Arkansas is like 2-1 seeds meeting up, because they're the two favorites.
Correct. They were just put on, like, that side of the bracket, and that's how it ended up. But, yeah, the Beavs get Louisville.
And so they get a little lucky in that draw?
I think so. Yeah, I think it makes for. I mean, it's better than opening up against Arkansas or LSU.
Who gets Murray State if they win?
That I would have to check.
Yeah, Arizona, UCLA, Oregon State, all in the College World Series. All right, it is the dawn of a new era in college sports. We'll get to that next. But first, Buck with SportsCenter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything.
From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, good Monday. Nice to have you guys along. I am reading here, and the text line is corroborating that Arkansas baseball fans do not have a good reputation. Now, some of this could be just coming from Oregon State fan who remember...
No, this is true.
They played Arkansas.
Their reputation is poor.
And they played Arkansas in the final. The last time they won,
yeah,
right?
That's right,
2018,
mm-hmm.
And that was the one where the guy
dropped the foul ball
and allowed Oregon State to stay alive, and they ended up beating him. So Arkansas has been now to, I was just counting, they have been to, this will be their 12th College World Series, and they have never won it. We mentioned last week that Florida State, who Oregon State just disposed of,
mm-hmm.
they were in search of their 25th College World Series berth, and they had never won it, which is insane. But the Beavs have been there eight times.
And it's insane.
If they win this, it would be their fourth title in eight trips. That can't feel good for Arkansas Razorback fan.
No.
And a couple of people are saying here on the, what do you call it?
The fan text line?
That. 503-864-6326. This text says, coming from people who were at the last OSU Omaha appearance, apparently Arkansas had the worst fan base in college baseball, and the local Omaha folks confirmed that overwhelmingly. And it doesn't surprise me. Look, Pig Suey, but...
Well, you've talked about Colin Wilson before, who covers college baseball pretty extensively, and he is an Arkansas alum, and I have been listening to his podcasts previewing the regionals and the super regionals, and will for the World Series as well, but even as an alum, he says, our fans border on felonious behavior all the time, and it's sometimes it's not for the best.
Is it just baseball, or is this true of their football?
He says they act towards baseball the way that other SEC schools typically might towards football, like an LSU football base or a Florida football base, something like that.
Wow. So we've got drunken LSU fan going up against crazy Arkansas fan and drunk.
Yeah. And LSU, every year they go, there's the whole, it's Rocco's, I think, is the bar, and they have the Jello shot contest. And every time you buy a Jello shot, you put one on one of your team's, like, leaderboard, and LSU goes in and breaks the record every year for the most Jello shots taken
in Omaha.
Yeah, and it's like tens of thousands.
Come on, we're the Beavs fans in all of this.
Well, I don't know how they did their last trip. I'm sure we can find out.
Famous for the beer can pyramid that got taken down and turned into a water bottle pyramid.
Take that, NCAA.
Yeah, let's enter the drinking conversation, Beav fan. It's about that time. It's your eighth trip. Let's get it. So anyway. Little note on Arkansas baseball fan. Apparently they're awful. And somebody else texted and said, Arkansas fans will sacrifice a human for their first title. Boy, somehow I believe that.
That sounds right.
And
I don't have a reason for thinking that, but that feels like it tracks.
Well, I did see there was somebody tweeting, and I didn't pay too much attention to it, so I'll butcher it. But I did see where when Arkansas punched their ticket to the College World Series, there were people talking about their redemption arc involves LSU getting back at Oregon State for 2018.
Sure.
There are a couple of others in there, but they actually have a path where...
It's like a bad memories hit list kind of a thing.
Yes, so they're on a mission.
Right some wrongs.
They're on a mission. And they are the odds-on favorite. So I don't want to spend too much time on this because, I don't know. I mean, I think there's a lot of unknowns about it still. And, I also think that this time of year... The sort of NCAA NIL new structure talk gives people blue screen reboot head. You know, sometimes we don't need to belabor it, but it was a big deal on Friday, and it kind of went without much fanfare because it came out on a Friday night. But the judge signed off on the $2.6 billion settlement between the NCAA and the current and former players that sued, and it is the dawn of a new era in college sports beginning
now-ish?
Kind of this fall, maybe?
That's unclear. I mean, maybe it's clear. It was a 76-page document. I have not read all 76 pages. I think I've seen a couple snippets. But
yeah, look,
I don't know how. I mean, it's supposed to start immediately, and they are going to have to figure out how they facilitate this, but and I guess how they regulate it and make sure that people are doing what they're supposed to be doing. And I guess but now the schools have decisions to make.
Yeah, a lot of questions. Basically, what it does is it creates back pay for some former players. It creates a system to pay current athletes, and the new model. I think they have to have it all buttoned up by fall.
I think that's right.
And each school will be paying up to $20 million a year to its players. And by the year 2035, that number reaches $33 million per year. So it is capped.
And this is directly from the schools. This is not through a collective. And that's the significance of this, is the schools are paying their players to play the sports.
This is not NIL. It has nothing to do with NIL. Two different ways for kids to get paid now. So the NCAA, according to this article I read, they said they will distribute $1.6 billion in new compensation and benefits per year, and that will increase over the next 10 years. A few quick thoughts on all of it. Look, a college scholarship is very valuable. And for those of you who for the longest time was saying that that was enough, you know, for all those years, that one time that, you know, it probably was. But with the amount of money that these schools are bringing in now off the backs of these athletes, this is only fair. Now, there are several questions, and here is a list of them. We don't need to belabor any of them because none of them are answered yet. But what does this mean for Olympic sports that don't make a ton of money? That's the first question. Are the athletes now considered employees? If they are, that creates a slew of potential legal challenges. That's the second question. Another thing that's unclear is how the money will be distributed in accordance with Title IX. Are male and female athletes paid equally? That's a third question. I did see where Livy Dunn, the gymnast from LSU, who's engaged to or maybe dating or maybe married to Paul Skeens.
I believe they're just dating official. Yeah,
yeah, she's with Paul Skeens. She's the one that's, I mean, she's made a mint off of, you know, ads. You see her ads are out there. I think she's got a clothing line or something, and she was the gymnast. She said that the settlement doesn't even come close to the value she lost in college. So does this mean more lawsuits are coming down the pipe? That, you know, that's another question. A fifth question, who are the watchdogs here? Apparently they've created, I didn't know this until today. I was reading that they've created a new entity called College Sports Commission, and it's headed by a guy who used to be a Major League Baseball executive. And that commission will be tasked with enforcing anything related to third-party payments, NIL, or roster limits. So NIL, and again, this is separate of the salary structure they've created, but NIL has to be for valid business purposes. It cannot be strictly for recruiting, just to get a kid on campus. And they're tracking that via software, and there's enforcement of that via the College Sports Commission. So there are loose ends everywhere, but it's a start. And I think, you know, as I've said before, I think you'll be surprised at how the schools adapt and come up with money simply because they have to. And, you know, look, there is quite a bit in the coffer already, and you'll hear them cry poor and you'll hear them bitch about it. But the value of this lies in the potential for these schools to earn exponentially more from major college athletics moving forward. So the payments to the players will remain capped, but the revenues will not. And those revenues are in their infancy in terms of what they will garner. So if schools wisen up and they just start running these athletic departments more like real businesses, which they are and have been.
Already in motion.
Yeah, they will see revenue growth that dwarfs the payments to athletes. So they're scrambling a little bit right now, but look no further than other sports TV contracts. You know, they're astronomical. And college football and college basketball are wildly popular, just as popular as some of these other major pro sports. So if the college football playoff can create a format that generates as much interest as, say, the NCAA tournament, they're cooking with gas. They're going to make so much money, it's not even funny. This is going to be, these payments will be a drop in the bucket compared to what they will eventually make off of their sport. So in the meantime, I think private equity can come in and bridge the gap in capital. The schools will be fine. The players will get what they deserve. And for the fans, the sports will go on as they always have. And it will finally be without the charade of this, you know, student athlete bullcrap. It's a new era. it may even be a better era. But I think it's going to be more stable, it's going to be more regulated, and it's going to be more fair. And that's a good start. So that's what we got on Friday. All right, coming up next, the NBA Finals are tied on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ow! All right.
Elite new drop.
Yeah, it is elite. Wow! That's the Korean announcer from the Tyrese Halliburton
game
shot.
One winner, yeah.
Yeah, so the Thunder, I was all excited to watch that last night.
And it went about like the first game did, except there was no comeback.
Yeah. Well, last night we had Red Sox, Yankees. We had the Beavs taking on the Noles for a spot in the College World Series. And then we had Oklahoma City, Indiana game, too. It's a good little sports night.
Good little sports night.
And really none of that was any good. I mean, the Beavers win was cool, but they were up 10-3.
Yeah, it wasn't a back-and-forth affair. There wasn't high drama.
Or was it 14-3, like...
Yeah, and then it ended
up
being 14-10 was the final, but it...
Weren't they up 14-3 by the third inning?
I think that's right. But they were up 14-3 at some point, yeah.
Well, anyway, the NBA Finals is now tied. Oklahoma City held them off this time. Well, actually, they buried them this time. And yes, I mustn't lie. The series hasn't really grabbed me yet, and that's probably because every time I check it out, Oklahoma City... is up 10-15 points and in complete control outside of the one quarter. They've shown that they're the better team. So basically eight quarters, we've had seven that are pretty lame. And that's not going to cut it. And let's be honest, you know, the way Oklahoma City plays, turnovers aren't exactly compelling to watch because that's what they do. Pacers have 40 turnovers in two games. Now, they only had 15 last night, but you can look at a stretch right there before the end of the half where they had four in a row, and that contributed to a 10-0 run for Oklahoma City, and the lead went from 13-23, and it was, I mean, it's never really curtains in the NBA, particularly with Indiana, but it's like, come on, Oklahoma City's not going to blow this again. So it kind of was, I don't know what kind of ratings it's getting, but can't imagine they're good.
Well, we know that game one, despite the amazing comeback and finish, was the lowest rated game one of the finals since 1988 when they started tracking it.
I can see why.
So I'm guessing game two, not a lot better.
I mean, if you think about all the great teams, your Warriors, like, they were a blast to watch. You know, the Splash.
Yeah, the way that they played was really
fun. The way they played, yeah. And every team, although the Spurs were not, the Spurs dynasty was not that interesting to watch.
But they at least, there were, the offense was pretty, and they moved the ball, like, and it was,
well, so does
it. Wasn't exciting, but it was pretty fundamental.
Yeah, but most of them, it's not all of them, but most of the teams that get the ratings, because I'm not sure that the Spurs got huge ratings back when they were winning titles. The teams that get the ratings, like the Lakers or the LeBron Heat or, you know, Dwayne Wade and those guys, or your Warriors, are teams that are just, they stand out because they do something that's worthwhile. Like, they do something so well. It's like signature, right? And Oklahoma City's signature is defense with a bunch of guys who aren't even all-stars. Like, that's cool. I mean, if you like basketball, that's good basketball, right? Especially in a league where a lot of players refuse to emphasize that part of the game. So it's refreshing to see them so good at it, but it's not exactly a ratings bonanza when you're watching them turn teams over.
Just because it can be good basketball doesn't mean it's exciting or it's compelling basketball.
Yeah, and they're awesome. What are they, 81-19?
That's right.
Is their record this year? I mean, they're incredible, but they don't jump off the page at you like some of those other great teams did.
Well, and a lot of times, especially in the NBA where they have tried to make the players the face of the league, it's the players that drive ratings rather than the teams or the brands. Like, people, I think it's more exciting to watch Nikola Jokic than it is to watch Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
Like, I think that's right.
And Shea is an exceptional basketball player, and he's worthy of the MVP, and he's going to score a quiet 35 points a game in this series. But the way he does it, through mid-range jumpers and kind of finding these little spots on the floor and then drawing a bunch of fouls, that doesn't bring a lot of people in.
And on the other side, you would, like, the exciting team is Indiana. And you would think that they would rope a lot of people in, but they kind of haven't because, again, they've really only had the one quarter that made you sit down and your jaw hit the floor.
And Halliburton has come up big in big moments and a couple big games, but it's not like, you know, watching a Luka run to the finals or you don't watch them and say, oh my gosh, you've got to see this guy Halliburton. He's had a knack for the dramatic and for the clutch that nobody else has had, but that doesn't mean people are showing up to watch him play 48 minutes.
Well, I think the part of the problem with him is that as exciting as he is, that dude disappears for seriously long stretches of time.
Absolutely.
And that's not to say that Steph doesn't or LeBron never did, although I kind of feel like LeBron really never did.
Start even rumbling about it, he's back doing something. Yeah.
But this guy, I mean, you see why he's not he's awesome, Tyrese Halliburton. I mean, my God, they're in the finals. He's hit all these huge shots. Like, what a run. But for those saying he's not a superstar-level superstar, you see why, you see why they say that. I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe he'll have an amazing rest of the series and prove that he's one of the top five players in the league. I don't know. He's certainly playing like it at times, but there are other times where it's just he's non-existent, and that's not necessarily superstar level play that's drawn eyeballs. So I think you combine all that stuff, and it's just not. It's not all that compelling. It's a really good, raw X's and O's basketball junkie type of series.
It's a good hardcore basketball fans series.
Yeah,
but that doesn't make it one that's good for the masses.
Yeah, for the masses, it's lacking, at least so far. The Stanley Cup Finals have been way better so far. And, you know, the College World Series is going to get some eyeballs.
The other thing is,
my eyeballs.
Those two teams, Indiana and Oklahoma City, have never really had any national interest. I mean, maybe the Reggie Miller Pacers a little bit. But, and I guess when Kevin Durant was in OKC, but I just don't feel like those teams have ever moved the needle for the basketball sporting public, and now they're both in the finals together. There's a reason they talk about the small market thing, and it's not because the teams aren't entertaining, it's because no one cares about them.
All right, coming up, we have even a little tennis talk, and it is U.S. Open week, and then we'll have our stock watch, what we're buying and selling from the weekend in sports
on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.